the Sunday Morning Linux Review. Starring Mary Talmadge, Tony Venus, and Matt Anders as the Beaver.
This is episode 78.
Go blue.
And yeah. White. Go Penn State. No. Even though you're not playing in anything.
Yeah. For those of you who are not U.S. based, there's a big college basketball tournament, and the university, this one of our state universities is playing in
one
it.
One of so. Michigan's state universities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Michigan State. University. They're also playing, but they're in the Final Four.
They lost.
Michigan
done.
State is out.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
I can
game.
Tell, Tony, you're not been. You haven't been watching March Madness.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway. who's in the last game? Then?
Louisville and Michigan.
U of M and Michigan.
Yep. No. Right. Louisville and Michigan.
That's what I
said. You said U of M.
I said U of M.
Check the tape. Yeah. All right. Well, That's enough of that. We'll.
Penn State should be there. They shouldn't have been sanctioned by the NCAA.
Should have been. Okay. Wow. Oh yeah. Okay. let's catch up on what happened this week. So Matt, do you want to go first?
What happened this week?
Now you only worked 3 days.
No,
so.
I didn't. I actually went in for 11 hours on my day off.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because we have one of our big cluster clients.
Yes.
Is
every time you say cluster, I just laugh.
Okay.
Okay.
It's actually our biggest cluster client.
Yeah.
Their database servers weren't fast enough. So they wanted to upgrade.
So you threw more RAM at it.
They wanted to upgrade their database servers, right? To our 510s with hex core processors in them.
What database management system are they running on them?
MySQL.
Okay.
Per Kona, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's MySQL.
Okay.
And so what an R610 is it's a large, it's a 2U server that holds 12 3.5-inch drives that are hot swappable,
mm-hmm.
and two internal 2.5-inch drives that are not hot swappable. Mm-hmm. So what I went in to do was build these machines because the processors we had in them are quad cores.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we had to take the hex cores out of some 510s. I mean, out of some 610s.
Yeah.
So I took the processors out of the 610s, two 610s, put them in the 510s, and made them hex cores.
I thought you were going to make it 1110.
No.
All right.
And then we had to take the internal drives out because for downtime,
mm-hmm. sure.
they didn't want any drives internally. That way, if a drive failed in the array, we could do it externally. We could just take it out and put in a new one, let it rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. No downtime. And
the best laid plans?
No.
It worked like a charm?
So that worked. It all worked.
Good.
And then 8 300 gig drives in a RAID 10.
8 300 gig drives.
In a RAID 10.
That's 2,400 gigs.
It's 1.2 terabytes.
Wow.
That's what it comes down to because okay. there's.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, because
it's
RAID 10.
Mirrored? Okay.
Right.
All right.
And that leaves them two drive slots to expand to if they want to add more storage later on. And
yeah.
And way fast. And the RAM. We had to special order the RAM. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The machines are maxed out.
Oh, yeah.
At 128 gigabytes.
Wow. What are they running on those things?
They just need to be able to serve their databases.
Wow.
So I went in and worked for 11 hours to build these and get them all set up so that I wanted this because I wanted to see them.
Yeah. I mean, that would be worth seeing and being a part of. I mean,
being a geek with no life, I had nothing else to do. So.
Sure. Yeah, he came on. It was a 3-day work for him, work week, but he came in and worked anyways on his fourth day just because he wanted to see these machines.
Right. So he didn't get paid for it?
No.
Well, that's all right, though. I mean, if it's interesting, it's, you know.
It was great.
Yeah.
I wanted to see them boot up after we got them all built.
Cool.
Fast.
And they booted.
My processor swapped.
So did you play solitaire on them?
No. They don't have X.
All right.
But anyway,
okay.
The processor swap went okay. On the first machine that I did the processor swap on, the 610 wouldn't come back up after I swapped the processors. I'm like, what's going on? It's not coming back up. Mm-hmm. So all I did was shut the machine down, take the heat sinks off, swap the heat sinks from one processor to the other, and then boot it back up, and it works fine.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, because they're just hunks of aluminum, so I don't know what.
Yeah, well, but you got the thermal.
No, they don't. They're all passive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have that thermal stuff that you have to kind of put on?
Yeah. Thermal paste.
Yeah.
I just used it, so I didn't put new thermal paste on.
There was probably one pin that didn't get seated completely, so taking the...
Well, they're pinless processors. The pins are in the motherboard.
Right. Well, there's still a pin that needs to get seated.
Oh. Yeah, and maybe that's what it was. So just putting that hunk of aluminum back on it.
I don't know.
It was just voodoo.
I never unlocked
the
processors.
Yeah.
You know? Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that's...
It's just
voodoo magic. It is voodoo magic. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And the other one
it automagically started working.
Yeah, automagical.
Yeah, you know, there's something kind of fun, but then something a little unsettling about that, because I think it's always better to logically understand why something's not working, or the series of steps that you got from it not working to it working.
To it working, exactly.
Instead of I just switched these and then it worked.
Yeah, right. Which should have had no bearing on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Well, that's kind of cool. I guess I'd probably want to be checking that out too, Matt. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just a big honking.
Big nice, honking machine.
Big, that'd be a nice gaming system,
eh? Well, no. No graphics.
Well. You'd have to put that on, but I mean, I'm just talking about just the box, you know.
About amount of RAM and the fast hard drives.
Ooh,
that's pretty cool. Processors.
Yeah.
So how many? 24. When we do the RAM test, 24 CPUs.
Jeez.
Wow. Cool. All right. So.
Because they're hyper-threaded too. Hex core with hyper-threading. So each one is 12 processors.
Well, I've lost count.
Processors.
I've lost count. Okay, well, very good.
Yeah.
All right, so.
So what'd you do, Mary?
Well, I got a call from a friend of mine who said, my internet's not working. Can you help me? So, I can't get on the internet. So, of course, I'm thinking, oh, it must be a network issue.
Yeah, the buffers are full.
Well, she didn't,
And then you got over there and she hadn't paid her bill.
No. So yeah, I'm kind of thinking, okay, maybe the wireless, you know, there's an issue with the wireless, but she said she had reinstalled the D-Link, and I'm thinking, okay, that's good. So I'm just trying to,
reinstalled the D-Link?
Well, yeah, let me explain.
Okay.
I'm just telling you exactly. I mean, but I didn't want to say that to her because it would, you know, she's not a computer savvy person, so you just don't want to get people upset. So I said, okay, well, I'll take a look at it when I come over. So I went over there. And what she was referring to with the D-Link is a wireless adapter. It's the one that plugs into your USB, one of the USB ports. Mm-hmm. And it's a little, for her workstation/desktop. So this is not a laptop.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is she did have internet. I was able to ping external sites, and all of this. What she didn't have, or what the problem actually was, is that, and again, she's running Windows XP on a processor that has 512 meg of RAM. So, anyway, the problem was...
Waiting for shit to load?
Well, what happened is that when we opened up Internet Explorer, because that's the browser she uses, and I told her she should probably download Firefox or Chrome, it just would open up, and there was like this huge space between the address bar and the top of the browser, and then it would just... crash. I tried it again, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I'd like to go out and download Firefox.
15 toolbars loading up?
Exactly! Oh, no. So what happened is that I ended up, while it was kind of hanging there, I managed to get into the menu bar and start to disable these. And I kept disabling, and finally, Internet Explorer opened up, and I said, okay, here's what you need to do is when you're installing anything,
uncheck read, the freaking box.
Yes, read all the little check boxes and all that stuff and make sure you don't install any, because she had like two things for eBay. She had a YouTube thing. She had all this crap. Oh my gosh.
Mary, I've seen the same thing on customer stuff.
Yeah.
15 freaking toolbars. And
yeah, this other machine over here had the same problem. And I was so freaked out. I just started disabling everything as soon as I could. And then toward the end, I'm like, oh, I should have took a screenshot of that.
exactly. Because I just thought, again, the toolbars hadn't even loaded because the processor is so slow. Cause there's this big gap.
Well, it was probably RAM. It was with only 512 megs of RAM, she was running out of RAM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then she was hitting the page file on the hard drive, and that was so slow
that was probably maxed out.
IE probably was taking up over 512 megs of RAM alone.
Yeah.
So anyway, but once that got taken care of, and I felt good because I was able to troubleshoot a Windows problem. That's not my strength, but so anyway, but that got solved. So that was my big, and then I just chuckled.
I've seen that more times than
My internet is running so slow. And then you open it up and there's 27 freaking toolbars.
Yeah. I thought to myself, I'll have a story for Sunday Morning Linux Review. So anyway, but that was my big thing this week. So what about you, Tony?
Yeah. Well, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So my Easter went
nice.
So
you're going to tell us two things or what?
Easter was nice to be able to go to church and spend time with family.
Our Easter was nice too.
Easter was nice too.
I spent 5 hours editing the freaking show.
Yeah, I spent about an hour and a half talking.
Yeah, I'm surprised the show was so long because when Matt and I did it, it was like half the length normally.
Well, yeah, I guess I talked
no
a lot.
No comment.
All right, but the big thing that happened to me this week is we almost lost our recording station.
Yes.
Or my house. Yeah, we had, I had a plug that was going zap, 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 just like in the wall. So.
Did you pull the breaker for the house?
No, my father-in-law came over and opened it up and the.
Opened what up?
The outlet off. He studied as an electrician.
Okay.
No, well, we turned off the breaker to switch first.
Thank you. Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
You don't have to, though.
You don't have to. If you want to live, you shut it off.
But. I saw a picture of a guy. Well, now, he was on a utility pole and got his arm was lying there separate from the rest of them, and it was all charred.
Wow.
And that's because it was a lot of electricity up there. But it's dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so go ahead.
So we did turn off. We turned it off to that specific circuit.
Okay, good.
We opened it up and the wire on it, the shielding was charred. Like it almost caught on fire. We almost had an electrical fire. So.
Wow.
We replaced that plus like five other plugs along the same wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
How old is your house?
Safe now. 70
safe
something.
Now.
It's not that old, but
almost burned down the house.
But think about houses that were built back then, or like my house, which is built in 1926, and the electrical.
You could still have posting.
No, we had that when we moved in, we had that all ripped out circuit breakers. Yeah, we had half the wiring replaced because of that. Because
it was all knobbing.
Well, yeah, because I had all sorts of electronic stuff, but it's just a matter of these days, there's so many things that we're plugging in that they didn't envision back in the 70s.
I think
they barely had TV back then, didn't they?
So what'd you tell your landlord?
I haven't yet. I meant to, because I rent this place.
You had to call an electrician. You got to take that $250 off your rent.
Exactly. Yeah. No, actually, and yeah, that's what I'm going to send them.
Did you save the charge?
Did you take pictures?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
Yeah, it took all sorts of pictures. So we're going to send that to her I'm going to text her, we almost had an electrical fire. I was going to do that the other day. I keep on forgetting.
Better
it's either
do it today.
Every time I think about it, I'm driving. And then when I'm at home, I'm doing other things. So I never think about it.
We're texting him until it gets
we'll
done.
We'll do it before we leave, man.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Wow.
That was going on.
That was going on.
I made enough money to pay for PenguinCon and a hotel. So. That was good.
Cool.
My side business, working on some computers. So I can't wait for PenguinCon. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I really wish we could have gone to Northeast Linux Fest. That would have been fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what we should do is for one of those is we could get, you know, they've got like those residence places where you get one suite and they're like different. There's more than one bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
So we could kind of combine.
That's what we should have done.
Yeah. Except you guys are going to have to put the seat back down when you're done.
No.
Just kidding. Anyway.
I grew up, I was like, it was me and my brother and mm-hmm. my dad out of seven. We had five girls in the house.
So there you go.
No.
Mr. Curmudgeon. But anyway, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then, Ohio Linux Fest. I think we need to get with the Podnuts guys and make sure we're on the same floor with them.
No.
Yeah, because last time we were in the wrong hotel, and they're all having all these things going on. And
I got my nice sleep like I like to get.
Yeah.
Unlike those
we
guys.
We were at the Hyatt. That was a nice hotel.
It was nice.
Those guys who were up for freaking 23 hours a day. I don't need that shit. I'm
doing. You don't have to. You go to bed. I'll go hang out with them.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll put that on the list.
Yeah. I want to say hi to everybody in the chat. We've got some extra people. 5150 is on this time. Highlander.
5150 doesn't like my use of the word howdy. Did you notice that?
Oh, no.
It's a yang word, and I will not use it. So I said, howdy, 5150.
And then he said it again.
Well, that's because the first time it's 5950.
Oh.
Anyway, that's Matt's idea. Well, never mind. The joke.
And Carl just got on, too.
Carl's in there.
All right.
Yeah. Highlander, Popey, Mickey, Chatter, Dizzo, D-Z-H-O.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Arald.
He didn't get pinged for the meeting.
Didn't get
for
pinged.
For our event.
Oh, really?
He says.
That's
I don't know. I could understand that happening if Matt or I were trying to set it up, but when Tony sets it up, we don't know what could have gone wrong there, because Tony is...
He said he was going to go. I don't know.
Hmm. All right.
Okay. Oh, maybe you were sleeping when it went off. he has his alerts set something.
Right.
Anyway.
All right.
So I think we should continue on the show.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. We can keep it under 2 hours.
Yeah.
Matt, what's happening with the Colonel?
We had a release candidate on Sunday, the 31st of March, 2013, at 2042 Pacific Daylight Time. Linus Torvalds released Colonel 3.9-RC5, and here's what he had to say about it. Another week, another RC. I'm like the U.S. Post Office. Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night will keep me from doing my weekly RC releases. A little holiday like Easter? Bah, humbug. It might delay the release email a few hours because a man got to stuff himself with odd seasonal desserts. And the Finnish Easter desserts are odder than most. But it won't stop the inevitable progress towards a final 3.9 release. So there it is. A shiny new release candidate just waiting for testing. Nothing really, really peculiar stands out. Exynos DRM updates, IBM RAM SAN driver updates are a bit larger. L2TP update. The rest is pretty much small patches spread out all over. Mostly drivers, block, .NET, not .NET, I'm sorry, block, net, media, TTY, USB, networking, and some file system updates, ButterFS and NFS, some architectural updates, x86 and ARC. Things seem to be calming down a bit, and everything seems largely on track for a 3.9 release in a few weeks. So the main line is 3.9-RC5, and our stable updates this week were on Friday, the 5th of April, at 2013, at 10:40 and 12 seconds Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Pro-Hartman released kernel 3.8.6, with 158 files changed, 1,341 lines inserted, and 658 lines deleted. And then on Friday, the 5th of April, 2013, at 10:40 and 45 seconds Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Pro-Hartman released kernel 3.4.39 with 92 files changed, 846 lines inserted, and 475 lines deleted. And then on Friday, the 5th of April, 2013, at 10:41 and 14 seconds Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Pro-Hartman released kernel 3.0.72 with 84 files changed, 665 lines inserted, and 268 lines deleted. And my kernel developer quote of the week comes from Greg Prohartman himself. He says, and people thought UEFI BIOS keys would never leak. What he is referring to is the leak of an AMI UEFI key that happened this week. AMI said that the leak key was only used for testing and never used for production. Let's hope so.
Sure.
So, odd Finnish desserts.
Yeah.
You know, I looked it up.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Here's one. Quark with berries. Cloudberry mousse. Buckthorn cheesecake. And this one here is whisked berry porridge. So okay, those are some
odd Finnish desserts.
But I bet they taste better than they sound.
I don't think so.
Oh, and here's one here called, this is called blueberry rye pie, but it's blueberry rooster is the nickname. So I think something got lost in the translation.
Okay. All right. Keep thinking that.
All right.
Blueberry rooster.
Yeah.
It's blueberry and chicken. And
blueberry and chicken might be good.
Yeah, a meat pie.
Blueberry. Oh, chicken with like a blueberry sauce
like
on it.
Pot pie.
Oh,
no,
that sounds really
gentlemen,
good.
I hate to dash your hopes there, but there is no meat in this.
Oh,
it is. There's butter, sugar, rye flour, baking powder, blueberries, and sugar.
All right.
Well, the sugar there's from the crust as well as the filling. All right, we'll move on, and that's courtesy of Finn Crisp.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
Distro fever.
What's going on with
it? Should be the name.
Yeah, we should get. We need
you
to get him to redo
the
soundbite for distros.
Oh sure.
Distro fever.
Distro fever.
It reminds me of that old disco song.
Yes, disco fever.
I'll have to put in the special request that he has to sing it. All right.
I'm sure he'd sound better than any of us. All right. So, what do we got?
All right. So first up, we have Body Linux or Bodhi.
Mm-hmm.
That's from Jeff Hoagland and the release of 2.3.0. And they are Ubuntu-based distro with the latest Enlightenment window manager. Going on the first, we have SlackL 3.0 OpenBox. Less than 2 weeks since the release of 2.0, the developers of SlackL,
they weren't slacking.
Yeah, they released a lightweight Slackware-based distro, having the release version of 3.0 with OpenBox. The next one. On the third, we have, I think it's Emma Buntus.
Yep.
Do you think that's how you say it?
Yeah, that's how I would say it.
All right. 12.04.2-1.04. And Patrick Emabuntus has announced the availability of an updated version of Emabuntus, a Zubuntu-based distro with XFCE as a desktop and a large number of pre-installed applications.
Yeah, I think they're focusing on schools and other organizations like that might be a little challenged. As
well. Yeah, refurbishing computers and for humanitarian organizations.
Sounds pretty
in
good.
Communities, yeah. Cool. On the fourth, we have Paralinux 7.
That's right, ParOS.
Yes.
And that is going to be my distro review.
Now, it's
going
to be your distro review, but are you reviewing the new release?
Yes.
7.0?
Yes.
Or 7.
I will tell you that I spent all day yesterday and part of Friday, not necessarily in that order, reviewing it. I had no life this weekend. Well, they'll be the rest of the weekend after the show, but so.
All right. Well, I'll let you talk more about that later then.
That's right.
And then our last release for the week is OS 4, version 13.4. That was released on the 6th by Robert Donhart, maybe?
Maybe.
Sorry if I said that wrong.
Robert or someone else, maybe?
It's Roberto Donhart, D-O-N-H-A-R-T. N-E-R-T. Oh, there's Zubuntu based also.
Yeah, one thing I was noticing with a lot of those that were released this week is that I think most of them, well, not Slack L, of course, but most of them were Ubuntu based.
Yeah. No comment.
No comment over there.
There's a few of the development releases. Ubuntu Beta 2, 13.04 Beta 2 has been released.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only a couple weeks out from release.
That's right. And Kubuntu was also released, although it's not on here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm assuming all the Ubuntu's. Except for Kubuntu isn't an official release anymore.
They have been cut loose from the herd.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's working mostly, except when I tried to boot in before the show, I had a little problem. I was trying to get ready to get here, and then I stupidly decided to upgrade.
Ran updates.
I ran my updates, and I get ready, I shower, I primp, and I do all that, you know, girly stuff, and then I come back, and it's still... Well, it's because it was doing Project Neon, which are the nightly KDE builds. So it was updating the regular KDE and that. And so then I run out to the car with my laptop still on, while it was just installing the updates. And then I just waited until it was done in the car. I felt a little better that way. And then finally I shut it down, a few minutes later. Off I went. So I get here and you guys saw what happened.
Yeah.
I have some problems.
Can't boot the KDE desktop.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Project Neon came up.
Yep. So I've got all my stuff open in Project Neon. So anyway.
All right.
Okay, that was a lot.
Cool. Well, I think that's about it for the distros. We're going on to the top five of the week.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
That's right. And those names sound, I think, pretty similar. Pretty familiar.
But somebody's dropped off.
OpenSUSE is down at 9 where it belongs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So at number 5, we have Body Linux with 16.01.
And trending up.
Number 4 is Pear with 18.43.
And trending up.
Well, Fedora's at number 8, Matt.
Yeah, I know. I was going to ignore that.
Well, I thought that was such a... You said that OpenSUSE... Of course, it's one up from OpenSUSE.
Yep.
All right.
Magia is at number 3 with 23.33.
And trending up.
And back in the number 2 spot is Ubuntu with 24.85.
And trending up.
And staying at number 1 is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 36.46.
And trending down.
Yeah, that'll flip in a couple weeks, probably.
No, Mint will be number 1 forever and ever.
Magia's little click-happy people are getting sick of clicking.
probably. All right.
What distro are you reviewing this week, Mary?
Okay, for you Francophiles, this week's review is of Pear OS, a French distribution. According to Pear OS's, and this is Pear OS 7, by the way. According to Pear OS's website, the purpose of Pear Linux is to create an operating system based on Linux, think Ubuntu Mini Remix, and propose a simple but powerful interface. Now, if I were writing a definition or purpose, it would be to create an operating system that looks like Apple OS, behaves like Apple OS, and costs a heck of a lot less than Apple OS. So, would Pear OS be a POS? or would it bask in the glow of a positive review? And
Bosk.
You know what Bosk is, right? It's a pear, type of pear. And by the way, pear in French is pronounced pois.
Pois?
Pois.
Ah.
Yeah,
yes, I just wanted to share that. Do you know how you say potato?
Potato?
You say it pomme frite. Oh, or that's actually fried.
Pomme.
Right, you say
pomme.
Because it is the it's the
mm-hmm. potato earth apple.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah,
and yeah,
pomme de terre.
It's not really related de terre. At all. But
all right. Well, I'll continue on.
Pomme
so, okay.
de terre. Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
That's it. Okay,
pomme so much frites is what I was thinking of.
French fries.
French fries.
Wow, what a surprise there, Matt. Okay, we're going to move on.
All right.
Okay, so the vitals. Of course, the name is Pear OS 7. The maintainer is David Tavares. The distro's latest birthday was on April 4th, 2013. It's, of course, a derivative of Ubuntu. 12.10. Did I have that right? Yeah. And it uses the kernel 3.5.0.23. Now, the review desktop is GNOME 3.6, which appears to have been modified. Now, one thing I noticed, too, is that PearOS is only available as a 64-bit OS. But what was really interesting is that the minimum system requirements are 512 meg of physical RAM, 8 gig available hard space, and 600 by 800, or 800 by 600, I guess, display resolution. Now, you'd think that...
Nobody has got a 64-bit system with those specs.
Exactly. That's I went out to the forum.
Everybody lowballs their specs.
Well, I went out to the forum, and because I wanted to find out why, or see if there was any information there about why it was only available in 64-bit. Well, I think it's just a matter of the developer not having enough time. So it looks like they'll probably come out with one, but for right now, it's only 64-bit. So.
Man, I'd like to see how it runs on a machine with only 512 megs of RAM. And
yeah, I mean, it's because it's got, you know.
It's a pretty beefy distro.
Yeah, well, it automatically loaded my NVIDIA, or excuse me, it automatically loaded the NVIDIA drivers.
Which, really, the proprietary ones?
Yeah, it did. I was surprised. But anyway, I wanted to mention that. Now, PearOS boots to a very polished, easy-on-the-eyes desktop. On the left side are the icons you typically see. PearOS includes another icon, Welcome to PearOS. Now, when opened, it displays a visual tutorial for 6 different PearOS features. You've got Launchpad, which, of course, opens to a full-screen menu and shows you all the available applications for launching and using. Something called Mission Control. That provides a bird's eye view of all your running apps. Think of that dashboard system that will show you in little windows all the stuff you've got open. There's a desktop switcher, which of course it will pop up using the lower left corner. I think that's set up by default.
The hot corner.
Then there's the hot corner. That's exactly what it is. Then there's Clean My Pear.
Okay, this is a family show, Mary.
Listen, I didn't make this stuff up, let me tell you. I read that, and I immediately regressed into adolescent humor, and I thought, oh, Matt's going to have fun with that. It's a system cleanup utility for both user and root-level cleanup. Better know your password, though. It didn't seem to let you be selective about what you clean, because I did put it to the test, and so it's going to clean. It looked to me like it just cleans all or none. Of your pair. OS. All right. And there's also My Pair 4, which allows you to easily customize your system, your panel, your dock, which seemed to be easier said than done. And then finally, there's a notification center. And again, this just shows you how these things work in Pair OS. Now, Pair OS includes 2 panel apps on the desktop. There's a panel called Plank, which is centered across the bottom of the screen in a very Mac-like way. There's another panel that's called the Wing Panel. This is a panel located at the top right corner of your screen. It's designed only to show the indicator and session applets. And the way the documentation described it, and this is not really PearOS's documentation, but the documentation of the Wing Panel project, is that it really sits off in the upper right. But as far as my looking at it and all the documentation I found on the web, it stretched across the entire system and was unable. I could not change the configuration. It was kind of all or none.
On yours?
On mine. Yeah. But it is something that is across the board. Other people have talked about that, and apparently it's early and it's not the configuration. You can't really change it. I'm going to talk about what happened when I tried. It makes for interesting listen.
So it should belong just in the upper
right-hand corner, freeing up
like where
your
that
panel.
Desktop
yeah.
cache
yeah.
is.
Yeah, think of GNOME. Yeah, well, yeah, but think of GNOME in that area where they've got the little collection of applets up there for like logout.
I have no
wireless.
Idea. I've never used GNOME with the top bar.
Okay, but that's where it's supposed to be. But it went all the way across. So anyway. Let's see here. And then, of course, as I mentioned, NVIDIA was automatically detected and loaded, and then my wireless was automatically taken care of. So all this stuff really went off very nicely, very smoothly so far.
Cool.
The defaults installed with PearOS is Firefox 19.0.2. The Office Suite, and this is available via PPA, is LibreOffice 4.0.2. The mail client is Geary Mail. I had never heard of it.
Geary?
Geary Mail.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
I had never heard of it.
Huh.
But it looks somewhat like Firefox, Thunderbird, but I don't believe that it is kind of a Thunderbird clone exactly. And then the file manager is Files, but actually I did some research because I thought, I've never heard of this file manager. apparently it's a rebranded Nautilus. So that gives you some insight.
Like, did they fork Nautilus or did they just rebrand it?
You know, I didn't spend, because I did this in a day and a half, I was unable to really go into a lot of detail about that. I just wanted to find out about files and where it originated, and that's what I found out. So, but the wallpaper looks celestial and spacey and reminded me of the Apple environment. So now it's time to take a look at the installed version. Now, there's nothing much to say about the process to install, aside from the fact that it's Ubuntu-based and solid. I only experienced one error, an ID10T error, when I rebooted and realized I overwrote my Grub install yet again. Because it is just not obvious, and, you know, I'm looking and kind of looking at all this other stuff, and then I think, oh, I forgot to do that again, but, you know, I fixed it. Logging into PearOS for the first time was easy, but it's We'll take a more in-depth look here at the other things that we saw. First, the buttons. Because PearOS is designed to closely resemble Apple, the three standard title bar buttons are, of course, located in the upper left corner of the application window. The upper right corner shows a button that toggles Maximize Restore. It takes a little getting used to. One thing about the green button in the upper left corner is that clicking on it will drop down a list of options for that window, including maximize, unmaximize, always on top, and a number of other things. That's all that it really does. It doesn't just automatically maximize like I was kind of thinking. And I wanted to take a look at a Mac system yesterday afternoon, and I forgot to do that because I wanted to see how it behaves in Mac, and I'm thinking maybe that's how it behaves in Mac. But anyway. Now, I'm going to talk about Wing Panel. As noted earlier, it's meant to handle the indicator and session applets while not taking up the entire top of the display. But as I also indicated earlier, my research seemed to show that that's what it appeared to do, at least in the various screenshots I saw and some of the questions in the forums that I saw. In my opinion, Wing Panel was GNOME Panel without any configuration capability. I decided to remove Wing Panel because I noticed and I was able to start GNOME Panel. I thought, you know, GNOME Panel is configurable. I'll get rid of Wing Panel. I'll use GNOME Panel and just kind of report on my, you know, my findings and how that worked. so I decided to remove it and replace it with GNOME Panel. Let's see. But when I ran them both, they both overlaid each other, and that's why I wanted to remove Wing Panel. So this proved to be a bad decision.
What? Do something that the developers or maintainer didn't want you to do?
Yes. The simple removal of Wing Panel rendered the entire desktop unusable.
Oh, man.
All I had was my spacey wallpaper. My desktop was truly lost in space. Danger, Matt Enders, danger. With apologies to Will Robinson. So it was, I dropped to the terminal. I went, you know, Control-Alt-F1, dropped to a terminal and executed a start X command thinking, you know, and again, I was just trying to do a couple things here to see if I could get back to something. Within a few seconds, I was back in a graphic desktop, that of the root user. There was no customized Pear desktop. I had a stock GNOME 3 desktop, the wallpaper of which displayed the following notice. This is an alpha version of Pear OS 7. So my thinking is they probably forgot to remove that because, again, they expect most people to spend their time in the desktop.
Under the user, not under the root.
Under the root account, yeah.
I'm surprised they allow graphical root logins.
Well, listen to this, though. Even more interesting was the fact that Wing Panel was not listed in Synaptic as available for install, even though the history window clearly showed it as being installed. And that is how I got to it, because I went into Synaptic. I searched for Wing Panel. There it was. The little button said installed. I unclicked it, and that's when my problem started. So, It was not listed as being available.
Wow. So could you do it from the command line, though? Could you do, like, an apt-get?
Well, I'll get there to that, okay. Yes. No, I could not do an apt-get.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah,
why?
Why did I do this?
Yeah.
Well, remember now, it all started off because Wing Panel, because I had seen a couple of screenshots that showed Wing Panel located in the upper right portion of the screen, and on mine it was stretched across. There was no right clicking anything to allow any kind of customization to unstretch it to do that type of thing, and I thought I'll just try GNOME Panel and see how that works. So that's how we got to this point. Normally I don't do this kind of thing, but I decided to try in Pear OS. But anyway, so let's see. After now So the history window in Synaptic, yeah, it's you installed it today, but I couldn't get there. So that told me that it wasn't available in any of the repositories that Synaptic was monitoring. And after posting in the PearOS forum and receiving a quick response from one of the administrators, I said, so what would I be better off doing, trying to reinstall it, Wing Panel, or just reinstalling the whole OS? He says, well, there's some dependencies that have to be satisfied. There's this, that, and the other thing, because I had installed a couple of other things also were uninstalled when I installed Wing Panel. So
yeah.
I ended up just reinstalling, and that's what happened. So
all right.
Anyway, that was a little unexpected foray off the beaten path. The other panel I mentioned earlier is Plank. By the way, it wasn't initially intuitive how to add launchers to Plank. However, after a bit of looking in PearOS's forum, I discovered that all you have to do is just simply right-click on an open program whose icon is currently in Plank, and there's an option to say keep and dock, so that when you close that, it'll stay there. And Plank actually was pretty nice looking, because it does resemble the Mac OS's panel across the bottom.
Does it do the icon blow up when you over a minute?
Yeah, it does a little. What I liked about it is that the panel itself doesn't blow up. It's just the little icon that kind of does this little bounce when you hover over it, but when you start it, it kind of bounces.
But like when you if you run the cursor over it, when you run take a Mac and mm-hmm. you run the cursor across that bar, all the icons go.
They'll bounce. Yes, they do, or they bounce, or they do something.
Well, they get bigger and then they go back down.
Yeah. No. This did not do that. So, but it did when you clicked on it. So, but yeah, so that was one little thing. So anyway,
Chatter says throbbing icons.
Throbbing. Yeah. You know, that was kind of how it was. All right. So anyway, so installing software can be handled by PearOS's Software Center, or you can use the ever reliable Synaptic, which also comes pre-installed. And I wrote that before I uninstalled Wing Panel. I've used Synaptic for years, even after it was not included in Kubuntu by default. That was one of the first things I added after install. The PearOS Software Center looks professional and undoubtedly is based on Ubuntu Software Center. I mean, you know, it's just really, it's nice looking for new users who are wanting to add stuff. I mean, it's just polished. I really like it. Anyone using it should have no difficulty finding and installing software they need. Newly added software is filtered to the top. Other options is to filter by top-rated software. So, you know, very easy to do. You can select. Stuff's listed on the left. One thing I noticed is they had a whole category for fonts. Now, when I selected that, there's a ton of fonts listed. What would have been really nice and wasn't available, and it's not the PearOS team's fault. It's probably Ubuntu's fault, maybe, whoever owns that, is that there's no preview of the fonts. So you kind of, you know, at least there wasn't one that I saw.
Just install them all. Install them all,
yeah. I think that was like 700 fonts installed. It was awful. I installed Pingus and was impressed how far the game has evolved. Now you're saving penguins from climate change. Now, I also opened Firefox and attempted to load a video for playback. I had issues with the display. Firefox slowed to a crawl and a notice that said that Firefox was not responding. So do I want to force quit or wait? As it turns out, Adobe Flash plugin had crashed. So I installed Chromium and tried it from there. It crashed too. Later, I tried it again and it had no problem. So it might have just been a timing thing. But bottom line is both,
Flash.
It probably was, but both
Flash
worked later.
Horrible.
If I went back later, it just, you know, I was just having problems.
Especially on 64-bit. Flash being bad on 64-bit.
You're right.
We know.
All right. So on to the interesting programs so I can wrap this crazy thing up. All right. Pear Utilities. Now, this is a set of tools to customize your PearOS experience. My Pear. My Pear.
Your Pear, Mary?
Not my Pear. Your Pear. No, just kidding. But it's called My Pear. It's the distro's Pear.
Okay. That's your story.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Let you set your hot corners. Clean your Pear. Helps you clean your Pear. It just, again, clear. It cleans the cache. It cleans all those files. I'm going to get oxygen over there from that. All right. The Pear PPA Manager, it lists GNOME 3, LibreOffice 4, Gambas 3. And again, that's why LibreOffice 4 was available, because it's in there. I've seen that on several recent distros. Gambistry and Yorba as the PPAs that are available with the install. Now, there's something else called TimeBack. This is a backup utility that uses an external USB drive to hold backups of selected directories. This is really Pear's answer to Apple's Time Machine. Now, you can select the frequency of backups, like from every hour for the past 24, daily for the past month, or weekly backups until your hard drive is full. Now, I tested it, and it created a file called Chronopete within the file, and within the file were the various files that I had marked for backup. So I tested that last night.
Now, when it does a backup, does it back up the whole system, or does it just back up your configuration files?
It backs up what you select. Okay. You have the ability to exclude and include, and so you just there's a window that allows you to make those selections. And so once you've done that on the hour, it's like an hourly thing. It'll just say, "Okay, time for the backup."
Now, can you set how many snapshots it keeps so that you don't get full of backups?
I didn't notice.
Like, say,
that.
Keep five. So then, when it does the sixth one, it drops off the oldest one.
No, I didn't really see any capability to do that, at least not from the graphical interface. Maybe in the configuration file, there's a method to get to that kind of granularity, but it wasn't in the graphical interface. The other thing I noticed too was On Air, which is a simple music player, but it does have a pretty beefy graphic equalizer, which I was kind of impressed with. So my rating. Rating Pear OS is kind of tough. On one hand, you have a polished desktop that looks similar to Mac. It's very functional, has some well-done custom tools, and is a nice distro for anyone who's not going to tinker with the system. My issues with Pear, Wing Panel, it's an experimental, and they make no secret of that.
Well,
so why put an experimental...
Because I really think you were running the beta. I don't think you were running the final release.
A Pear?
Yeah.
Yes, I was running the final release of Pear.
When did you install it?
I installed it on Friday.
When did the final release come out?
It came out on Thursday. I clicked on the link that was available. I did. Trust me on this, because when I went to the forums, I was told that I checked some information, and it's experimental. I even went to the SourceForge. Or was it GitHub? I can't remember. Page, and it's experimental.
Well, yeah, I believe the software's experimental, but mm-hmm. I don't. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be in the final release.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't include it if I were the developer. But anyway, because it's experimental, and the lack of customization forced me to the ledge a couple of times. The documentation is spotty, but the forums are helpful, and you can also Google your question. I get the impression that the project could use more help. You know, again, it's pretty polished if you're not going to be doing any kind of customization of it.
Well, and people who want stuff to look like a Mac want it to look like a Mac.
They're and not, it does.
They're
I mean,
not going
it
to be
really,
doing any customization.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it looks like that. Even the icon for the file manager, it's called Finder, and it looks like that little half a face. It looks similar to that, not exactly.
Well,
enough
yeah.
of it. So I rate
Apple
it.
Be suing their ass.
Yeah. So I rate it at 2.9 cups, kind of almost a 3. I mean,
yeah.
Definitely usable, but, you know, again, I caused part of my problem by uninstalling Wing Panel.
All right.
So that's Pear OS.
Cool. Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
Right.
I had one more comment. You know, you guys were asking about the 64-bit only. Why 64-bit only? Well, on the new Macs or anything x86 Macs, are they all 64-bit? Are there any 32-bit?
No, they're all 64.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would be surprised.
That may be why, then. Why they... just concentrated on 64-bit.
As the initial one. But he did say, the developer did say that if there's time, he plans to come out with one.
In previous versions, were there 32-bit?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so. And that's why there several people complained. I mean, nicely, but just were asking about it. Because they've got an earlier version on a 32-bit. There you have
it. All right.
Well, all right.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So, news stories. I only have two. And up first this week, Rackspace sues patent troll. Rackspace has sued IP Navigation Group, IPNAV, along with Parallel Iron in federal court in Texas. They're suing IPNAV for breaking a mutual forbearance agreement they signed in 2010. A stipulation of the agreement said that either party had to give 30 days notice before filing suit. Rackspace claims that when their subsidiary, Parallel Iron, filed suit, it violated this agreement. Rackspace is asking a court to declare that they have not infringed any IPNAV patents. Schoenbaum, legal counsel for Rackspace, states that the mutual forbearance agreement was a trick. He goes on to say that if Rackspace had known the specific patents involved, they would have worked to have them invalidated. This is an inter...
Well, I thought that was a pause.
That's not what I meant to say at all.
It was a pause for comments.
No, it was a pause, but because it was not what I meant to say.
All right.
I did not mean to say. He goes on to say that if Rackspace had known, he goes on to say that what he means is that IPNAV had them sign the forbearance agreement to try and obfuscate the patents, mm-hmm. because if they had known the patent, the real patents involved, they would have sought to have them invalidated.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. This is an interesting turn of events. Suing the patent troll for suing you. With today's current environment against patent trolls, it may not be a bad strategy.
Yeah, I saw that story.
Yeah.
I thought of you, and I thought, it sounded like a good story, yeah. A good news item for you.
Because I saw two KDE ones that I avoided just because of you.
Oh, really?
Yes. One on Kate.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh. Maybe I should have known. Well. But anyway, next up we have Linux Advocates website gets syndication. Site owner Dietrich Schmitz and Catherine Noyes with the Linux Foundation and a regular contributor to the site announced that they have struck a syndication deal with NewsTex. NewsTex also syndicates the Los Angeles Times, CNET, The Economist, The Nation, ProPublica, The Houston Chronicle, CBS Interactive, International Business Times, and Deutsche Welle. NewsTex clients for syndicated content include Amazon Kindle, LexisNexis, CQ Roll Call, and, just for Mary, Thomson Reuters.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Isn't LexisNexis and Thomson Reuters
competitors?
Are they competitors? I thought they were the same.
No.
Lexis and...
They're competitors.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all the news I have.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
All right, I got a few items here. Again, they're not news stories, but they're stories that I saw that kind of caught my eye, and I think that will elicit conversation, spirited conversation.
Uh-oh.
Well, actually, one was that Wubi is going to be dropped from Ubuntu 13.04, so Windows users are going to lose out, because those of you who are not familiar with Wubi, it was a way to install Ubuntu, and I realize, Matt, that's probably... I mean, I thought it was a slick concept, though, because you could install Ubuntu right beside your Windows install without having to repartition.
So that you could run it from inside Windows.
Yeah, and I've done that in the past, not recently, but I had done that in the past and really appreciated how well thought out and put together it was. And
right.
It
also uses the Windows Boot Manager instead of installing Grub or something else. Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently, and I'll have a link to this, that they're not going to be including it because I guess they didn't have time to work out some of the bugs, and maybe it'll never be re-included. I'm not certain, but I was disappointed to see that, even though I don't use that, haven't used it recently. So that was one item. The other item I saw, and you guys probably saw this, is that according to leading analysts, Microsoft's market dominance is coming to an end. Oh my God, tell me something I didn't know.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean Microsoft's dominance is coming to an end?
Well, they were talking about the sale of Windows 8 machines. They're talking about just the fact that consumers have choice now. You've got Chromebooks, you've got tablets,
And that's true.
And
but did you see in the mobile market, Android actually went down and Windows Phone went up?
No, I didn't see that.
The latest ComScore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm, that's
pretty
interesting.
News.
Yeah, that is kind of shocking news.
Android went down by 3 percentage points,
mm-hmm.
or almost 3 percentage points, and ComScore came up by Windows came up by 0.2.
0.2?
So Windows is still like what, 4.2?
Windows is at like 3.9 now or something, and
So where did the other
Android,
two...
And Android went from 53 to 51.
Okay. So I'm 53 thinking...
53 something.
Still 51. Majority, though.
Right.
Okay.
Because the big gainer, Apple.
Apple? Yeah. Apple? Oh, with the release of that...
Apple's iPhone sales are just booming.
Yeah, i5.
Okay.
iPhone 5.
I will not buy one of those.
I won't either.
Yeah. You're not going to see
me. All the geeks I
one.
Know use Android, so I'm... I'm a geek wannabe, so I'm getting it with Android. No, I like Android. All right. The other story I saw, and this one, Matt, we talked a little bit before the show about it, and this is ongoing malware attack targeting Apache hijacks 20,000 sites. And there'll be a link to this. This was out of Ars Technica.
Yeah.
There'll be a link to this in the show notes. The situation is that this malware is sophisticated enough to detect where people are coming from when it hits that web server. And so it's not just automatically infecting them. It's waiting for certain conditions to be present. And so people who are coming from maybe antivirus sites, it's not going to infect them, but people maybe coming from other types of sites, it's going to recognize, again, a specific set of conditions and then infect them. And from what the antivirus folks who are looking at this say, it's difficult to eradicate. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and have a link to that. Continuing on the hacked topic, did you guys see that Scribd, you know, the document sharing service, their service was hacked?
No.
Yeah. I got this from H Online this past week, and again, there'll be a link to this in the show notes. But yeah, they apparently, although according to Scribd, and I have a Scribd account, and I did not get an email from them saying that my account was at risk, but they Scribd believes that the damage was minimal only because of the way that they kind of handle the passwords and they have, you know, how they encrypt them and all of that. So I thought that was kind of an interesting story, and so those are my straight up news stories. I'm going into KDE Corner. This past week, KDE shipped the April updates, which I found out this morning, for Plasma Workspaces applications and platform. Now, those are mostly bug fixes and translation updates. So I'll have a link to that in the show notes. If those of you who don't automatically get your updates and upgrades, you can go ahead and make use of that. Also, the first alpha release of Muon Suite 2.0 was released. And, of course, Muon Suite is the KDE... it's the set of package management utilities for Debian-based Linux distributions built on KDE technologies. So that's been released. And then my last one is Kubuntu 13.04. The beta 2 has been released. So I have not downloaded it, installed it. I had too many other things to do, but I wanted to share that bit of information. So that's my news this week.
All right.
So Mary, with the KDE upgrade?
Yeah.
Bug fixes? Is fixing bugs and then causing bugs? Is that really an upgrade?
I don't know. I'm not sure what it was.
I think it's because you were in a hurry this morning and something said, hey, we're going to overwrite this configuration file. Is that okay? And you said yes, and you should have said no.
I didn't see that, though. I didn't see anything that indicated that. Because I started it, I went and showered and, you know, took care of business.
Did you do
it
at the command line or from the ground?
Yes, from the command line. And I came back, it had already downloaded and it was just setting up this huge list of stuff. Then I ran around, did a few more things thinking, oh my gosh, I got to text Tony, I'm going to be late. And then I came back, it was still setting up and installing, and then I just took it, unplugged it. And then, I hope not going to battery power. That should have had no effect on it whatsoever. So. Okay. So thanks, Tony, for making me feel bad. Just kidding. All right.
All right.
Do you have anything for the news, Tony?
I do not.
Wow.
It's all right. As long as you keep taking care of that tech stuff for us, yes. Tony, keep that stuff running.
That's a good thing.
And be just
thing.
Another pretty face here. Yeah, you keep that going. That's all you need to worry about. So.
I remember back, it was just a couple months into in the show. I'm like, I told Matt, if you want to grab a couple more people to be on the show, I'll just hang back and produce a show. I don't need to talk, but
yeah, that's kind of well, you are talking, but
yeah,
you know, but you are kind of producing it.
Yep.
So thanks.
So I'm a producer and host.
Ooh.
You guys are merely hosts.
That's right.
Except when I have to be a producer, and I hate it. I hated it with a passion.
All right.
Yeah.
5 hours.
I'm so sorry, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, that sucks when it happens.
All right.
I barely made it to the laundromat, and I did not get my grocery shopping done.
Oh, man.
Tools from the toolbox.
All right, what do we got in the toolbox?
We've got Systat.
Systat.
And the Systat is a collection of utilities to monitor system performance and usage activity. Systat contains utilities common to many commercial Unixes, and tools you can schedule via cron to get a history of performance and activity data. These tools are IOSTAT, which reports CP stats and input-output stats, MPSTAT, which reports individual or combined processor stats, PIDSTAT, which reports statistics for Linux tasks, SAR, which collects and reports and saves system activity, SADC, which is System Activity Data Collector, SA1, which collects and stores binary data, SA2, writes a summarized daily activity report, SADF, which displays data collected by SAR, NFS IOSTAT, which reports on input-output from NFS, and SIFS IOSTAT, which reports on SIFS input-output. Now, the only tool of all these that I use is IOSTAT, but you have to install Systat to get the IOSTAT package. You can't just install IOSTAT.
And this is all command line?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I only use it with the -dx options. What they do for you is D equals display the device utilization report. Because if you just run IOSTAT, it displays both the CPU and the input-output report. And I don't want the CPU report. Mm-hmm. I just want to see.
How long? Did you say how long these reports are, Matt, on the screen? I mean, do they scroll off?
It depends
off
on your system.
Okay. But is it possible that it would scroll off?
No.
Okay.
Well, again, I only use IOSTAT and it's
okay.
not.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I always use it with a minus. I always use it with a 5 because you set the interval. Like I run IOSTAT -DX 5
because
then every 5 seconds it updates.
Okay.
So, so eventually it will scroll up and off, but you've always got new data coming on the bottom. It's not like you're missing any data because it is scrolled off the top.
Okay.
When it does it, when it delivers its first report, it's from the time that the machine was booted till the time the report was run. Like, so the first time you run IOSTAT, that's the statistics you get. And then every
time... So that could be pretty lengthy if you haven't...
No. Because it's just the number sizes will be different and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So that's all. Because it's just like, it's telling you SDA7 has this, SDA6 has this, SDB1...
SDA6 has a problem.
Has this. So it's just giving you your input-output.
Okay.
And because... Now, that's what the D does for you. What the minus X does is it gives you extended. Because if you just run it without the X, you only get about 3 columns worth of stuff, and you don't get any of the columns that I use.
More is better.
So, I don't even read the other columns. I only read there's only 3 columns I read.
Okay.
And so the numbers you want to pay attention to are the A weight, the R weight, and the W weight. And here's what each of them mean. A weight is the average time in milliseconds for I/O requests issued to the device to be served. This includes the time spent by the request in queue and the time spent servicing them. And that's all the requests. That's read requests, that's write requests, that's everything. And then R weight. Can anybody figure out what R weight is?
Read?
It's read requests. And now can anybody figure out W weight?
Write
requests.
I feel like I've used this before.
Yeah, so A weight is all, R is read, W is write. So they're the ones, they're the three I look at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you just kind of have an idea of what it should be, or do you have
you just
baseline.
Don't want it to be huge, because now remember, it's reporting it in milliseconds. So when it says 45,000, what is that?
45 seconds.
If you're waiting 45 seconds for disk I/O,
you got a problem.
You've got a real problem.
Or you've got my laptop.
No, you've got a real problem. Yeah. So like at work this week, when monitoring department sent a ticket to us and said, hey, we're experiencing some trouble with this website, and it's not the website. So then we look at it and we say, and I first thing I did was do Iostat, and I saw that I was the A wait times were like 45, 44. They would spike to that and then they would drop down to 8,000, which is 8 seconds.
It's like my I can't get to the internet, and it's really not that problem. It's
They knew it wasn't them. They did their troubleshooting and they knew it wasn't them. That's why they sent it to our department.
Gotcha.
So then we saw that, and then I didn't know how to fix that, so I had to wait for my boss to come in. So what he did when he got in was he failed it out of the array, failed that drive that was having problems out of the RAID array, and then, boom, it fixed itself right away. And then we can schedule the downtime because this machine that it was on doesn't have hot swap drives.
Okay.
So then we can schedule the downtime to swap those.
Wow, this is a pretty hefty tool.
It is a great tool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Iostat.
And it's, again, it's really for servers.
Minus X, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if on your laptop you're experiencing, like, you're waiting for stuff to happen, you can run it and see what's happening.
I usually just do top.
I just reboot.
I had a zombie processor. Oh, you know, I think it was Pear when I was getting that backup set up, because I had to reformatting the little USB drive. It kept going and going. I'm thinking, it's only 8 gigs. It's got to be done. And I think the process went zombie or something, and I found this little thing how to kill it. It was kind of, has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
No.
I don't know why I said that. Cut that out, Tony. Cut that out of the show. All right. Go ahead.
I'm done.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's very good.
Assistant to get Iostat.
I'll have to keep that in mind because I have one computer I set up for like data recovery, and that'd be a good troubleshooting to see whether it's like the hard drive actually going bad or stuff like that. Yeah.
If you're running it on Linux, you can, like, if you've taken it out of their Windows machine and put it in a Linux machine, you could use the tool. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
All right.
Because it'll tell you if your wait times are outrageous like that, it's because the drive is having problems, is having issues.
Okay.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
Is it alive or is it dead? During this segment of the show, I challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. Every other week, I twist the concept for our show and challenge them to decide if the name entity is a Linux distro or something else. This week is not Twist Week. So the task is very simple, gentlemen. Is it alive or dead?
All right.
You ready?
All right.
All right.
All right. First one. Max Linux.
Max Linux.
M-A-X.
That's right.
Max Linux.
Alive. No, actually, I think it's dead.
Dead.
Should have gone with your first thought.
No.
Max Linux is the operating system of the Ministry of Education and Employment. Oh, yeah, Employment of the Community of Madrid. M-A and then the X. Max Linux. M-A and Madrid.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm sorry, gentlemen. You both are at zero. Wrong. I'm making up for that Nopix, debacle. You guys both aced. Okay, the next one is Xamarin, and that's, I'm going to spell it because it's
an X.
Yes, A-M-I-N. Xamarin Linux.
Alive.
I think it's alive also.
Xamarin Linux is an Iranian distro. And it looks like it can be used in embedded devices and also desktops. It's like that. It was in Persian, and I tried to translate it. It only translated a portion of the site, so I had problems. But it is alive and downloadable. They had recent news and stuff.
All right.
Next one is Ehad Linux.
Ehad.
E-H-A-D Linux. That's right.
Ehad. Dead.
Alive.
Ehad Linux was a single CD Mandriva-based distribution designed for speakers of Hebrew. So I should have had that last week if we had that for our Easter show. Okay, the next one is Dream Studio.
That's alive.
That's alive, yeah. Well, Dream Studio, yeah, I'm going to say alive.
It's alive.
Okay. As opposed to Dream Linux?
Right.
Okay,
which is dead.
Yeah, exactly. I was hoping I'd trick you. You said alive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep, it is alive. It's a multimedia distribution based on Ubuntu's latest long-term support release.
I knew that.
Yeah. Okay, I was hoping I could trick you, but
no
unfortunately.
Dice.
All right, the next one is Linux.
Alive.
Oh, no, it is dead.
How do you spell it?
L-E-E-E-N-U-X. Dead.
Oh. That's how you spell it,
to let him take it back.
Yes, L-E-E.
Trees. It's got three E's.
Yeah, N-U-X.
Oh. No, because I was thinking of Linux, L-I-N.
Yeah, this is Linux.
No, yeah, I'll say dead.
Oh.
You just went right along with him, Tony. You
no, it is dead. You can't download it. You can't do anything. I tried to install that a couple of months ago.
What does this say right here?
Get Linux now.
Okay, I'm going to click on it.
Yeah, but when's
PayPal. The... Version 7. Oh, I'm getting a Google kind of creepy
yeah,
thing here.
You can't download it. It's dead. It's done. It's finished.
Twitter updates. 3 days ago. Tomorrow, version 7 for EEE, 4G, 8G, and up to 904HG, which must be 904 gigabyte. All netbooks, blah, blah, will be released. This was 3 days ago. It's alive.
You're reading the wrong year.
I'm reading the wrong year? Linux.
When was the tweet? Read the date on the tweet.
3 days ago. That says 3 days ago. Okay, hang on. I'm gonna open this up. All right, there's a server thing. Okay, it was, all right, Matt. April 4th, 2013. Man, I should have bet $5.
It must have come back from the dead. Because I seriously, before your netbook got stolen from me, I was, that netbook I bought from you, somebody stole it out of my van.
You're kidding.
No. It's because he doesn't lock his van. So anybody that's listening to us, you can... No, he's working on that. He's going to fix it today, right?
Yes, I'm fixing it today. I just got to pull the fuse out of the watch.
Yeah.
But anyway. I tried to install that, and it was dead. It was... Okay. No, I guess it was probably about 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
I'm sorry. You're wrong.
It came back from the dead.
Like a zombie process. kill it. All right. The last one is Infra Linux.
Infra.
I-N-F-R-A Linux.
Alive.
Is that anything like InfraView? InfraRan?
No. UrfanView?
UrfanView.
Which is a nice little utility in the Windows world.
Yes. Infra Linux.
Okay, Tony, you say alive.
You said alive, Tony?
I did.
Then I'm going to go alive also, just in case, because I'm up by one. No, we're even.
I think you are. I have to go back and count them up because I am.
No. I'm up by one.
So you're going...
So I'm going to go alive just to maintain the up by one, even though I think it's dead. I'm going to say alive.
Infra Linux was... See, you could have gone up by two. But that's okay. It's sort of like on Jeopardy where, you know, you bet enough money to just beat them by one.
I thought it was...
So, yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it was based on Ubuntu, but it's no longer available. So, there we go. So, Matt beat... Man, he eked out a victory. Yeah. You could have.
I was close.
Yeah.
I should have stayed with my gut instinct.
Yes. All right. So, join us next week. And I do have the twist already.
Ooh.
Yeah. It won't be anything related to Nopix. Join us next week for another edition of Is It Alive?
It's listener feedback time.
We had one really cool suggestion. Is there other comments first we want to go through? Or?
I have Ronnie.
Oh, yeah. The LXLE maintainer?
Yeah, it was the LXLE maintainer.
Yes, let's talk about that.
And he wants to thank us for our review.
It was a nice distro.
He sent us a very very long reply, TLDR.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, Ronnie.
Mary replied, though.
I did reply to him, yep. Yeah, to the gentleman in the background of your review.
That was Matt, that not Matt. Tony. That was Matt.
We never consider him in the background, but yeah, he's usually there babbling in the background.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yep. So he, and the logos, he didn't change any. Remember I talked about some of it had Lubuntu and some of it didn't. And he said he doesn't change it
on purpose.
So, and it made sense, his explanation, because if it's something they've done, they do have it. Otherwise, they'll leave it.
But if they haven't changed any of the configuration, they leave it.
Yep. So that made sense. And, you know, and again, it was nice of him to write in. And we were, I was happy to review his, that distro. So.
Then we had Brad Alexander, who said, I was right and Mary was wrong about the exchange on gun control.
Oh, yeah, that was a non-Linux one. Yeah, so, yeah, that was, yep, that was another.
I was right. Let it be said.
Who was right?
I was right.
Oh, you were right.
Yes. More guns. More guns.
Okay. Okay, Matt.
I continue on the non-political side. we have instant feedback.
I'll give a shout out to Brad.
Okay.
There.
All right. We have some instant feedback.
And that's a
feedback.
Friendly shout out.
Yes.
Okay.
Carl says from a few weeks ago, we had a comment about screen. If you do Control A escape, that he likes that.
Control A escape?
Yeah, Control A and then escape key.
I don't know what that does.
Screen?
The only thing I ever do
allows
is
you to scroll back in screen.
Oh, yeah. Because I only ever do Control A and then either D or K.
Right.
All right, and we had another email, right?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
From, I can't say that name.
Guillaume?
No, that's not the one I'm talking about. Oh, yes, I think it might be.
Yeah.
No, because his email address is different.
Yeah, it's some long name. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to say it either.
So, yeah, Guillaume's sent us a little script that goes through our website and searches for...
Sends all of our emails to China. No,
yeah, no.
Just kidding. No, it's...
And puts together a list of all the distro reviews that Mary has done.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It was very slick, and I really appreciated the fact that he also ran it and dropped it in the email he sent to us, or at least one of them or something.
Yes, yeah.
And so I just could scroll down there without even having to run the script. And
it uses curl and then it goes through and pulls out just, you know, a couple lines of the distro review, so we can have one page that lists all the distro reviews and what episode it's on. And
So it'll be incumbent upon me going forward to make sure that I maintain a standard, you know, kind of a standardized approach.
Well, because we do have some that are unique in there,
mm-hmm.
and we've got some episodes where there were none, like the first five, there was none.
Oh, and I did the distro drive-by at Ohio Linux Fest. Remember, I had three of those.
If you read the script, he's got special cases in the script to deal with that.
I'm gonna take a look at the context of the
script
and make sure that
awesome.
I make sure I match the the write ups.
I think he's looking for Mary and then something else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or his search looks for.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that was very much appreciated. So thanks, Guillaume, and we really, really appreciated your work on that.
I think that's it.
Yes, okay. I don't have anything else.
I don't know if our info line is working.
I think it is.
It is, okay.
We got that voicemail from that truck driver.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, but that was before I'd heard back from Magic Jack that this thing was available, although I think I paid for another year. So.
I think that was the week after.
It was the week after,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll call out on it.
But we hadn't known because you hadn't checked, so we didn't say, and he just decided to call it to see and then reported back
so
to
he said it is working.
Yeah. Well, there's always one way to solve that. But anyway, okay, so.
Very cool.
I guess that's...
Featured Music of the Week.
Did we decide on music?
I sent two.
And then Matt replied with one, too.
Actually calling our info line. I'm going to leave a message. No, just kidding.
Oh,
man, I liked yours.
See?
Did
you? Didn't even listen to mine.
I did. I listened to it.
Yeah, on Facebook it says you listened to the one Mary sent, but not the one I sent.
On Facebook? Oh, did it really?
Yes.
I didn't know it commented. Oh, man.
Auto posts.
I didn't mean to do that. No, I listened to all three of them. It's probably because I didn't finish listening to it or something. But, you know, I am going to go with yours. And it's going to be based on...
It does go into the Sunday morning Linux review feedback line. I just called it.
So cool.
That's good.
But I'm sorry. The reason I'm choosing it is because my daughter, Alex, which is 2.5, she danced to that one more than the other two.
Hey, that should be...
Should be our guide.
She should be the one that picks it. That's pretty funny.
So
which one is it?
I'll
sorry, I was calling the feedback line.
It's kind of, it's an electronic punk rock kind of song.
That's the one that you had, right?
Yeah,
that's the one we're doing.
All your search terms and just added the term punk rock.
Yeah.
I had accordion. I had what was the other
pipes? I think
or some other crazy cowbell. Yeah. So.
Yep, it's called the song is called punk rock. And it's by Diffraction of Light. Take a listen. We'll be right back. You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This was episode 78.
Go blue.
Blue and white. Penn State. Yeah. Who are sanctioned for no apparent reason. But anyway.
Anyway, this is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying have a good week. See you next week.
See ya. We have two listeners on our audio streaming right now, so I think we're okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Sorry about the interruption. Back to the show.
So, Mary, do you want to start over, or?
Well, I think,
I don't know how far we were into your review before we blew up there.
We blew up right after my really clever sentence.
We all missed it. I'm sorry, Mary.
That's all right. It's just one of those things. all right, let's, I can just start again. Okay, so, what do we got coming up next here?
Next is Toolbox?
Toolbox?
Yeah.
Toolbox?
Toolbox?
Or breakfast, according to Tony's stomach.